Have you ever stopped to think about how things spread? I mean, not just heat warming up a room, but maybe how an idea catches on or a disease moves through a population.
Or even how financial trends seem to ripple across markets. Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, fundamentally, a lot of these diffusion processes can be described using something called a heat equation. It's a really powerful mathematical tool.
It is. But here's where the real world kind of throws a wrench into that nice, elegant picture. Our world isn't perfectly predictable, is it? There's always some randomness, some noise.
Right.
And when that noise isn't just tacked on, but it actually interacts with the system itself, changing across both space and time. Mathematicians call this multiplicative space-time white noise. Well, those neat heat equations become stochastic heat equations, or SEEs.
Okay, stochastic heat equations.
SEEs.
And they become incredibly complex. Seriously, they push the limits of what we can even compute.
Which I guess leads us to a really core problem, right? Because
yeah.
When you're modeling the real world, certain things just have to be true.
Absolutely. Physical laws. Yeah, like you can't have negative heat or a negative amount of some chemical.
Or negative particles in some branching process. It just doesn't make sense.
Exactly. This basic requirement, it's called positivity. But the really frustrating thing is many standard ways of solving these equations numerically, even really good ones, they often lose this positivity when they tackle these complex stochastic ones.
Yeah, they fail right there.
So your simulation might spit out, I don't know, -5 degrees or -10 particles, which is just
complete nonsense. Yeah, the model is fundamentally broken at that point.
If it predicts that, it's useless, basically.
Pretty much. For a simulation to be trustworthy, especially for important stuff like fluid dynamics or these turbulent diffusions we mentioned, it absolutely has to preserve positivity. It needs to reflect reality.
Okay, so this huge problem of getting impossible negative numbers, how do you even start to fix that? Well, that's what this deep dive is all about. We're looking at a really fascinating new paper by Charles Edward Breheyer, David Cohen, and Johan Ullander.
Mm-hmm. A very recent contribution.
And they tackle this exact problem head on. And what's cool is it's not just some clever numerical trick. Their solution, this positivity-preserving Lightrotter splitting scheme, actually led them to a fundamental theoretical discovery, too.
That's often where the really exciting breakthroughs happen, isn't it? When practical methods inform theory.
Totally. So we'll unpack how their method works and how it actually reshaped what we know about these complex systems, making sure our models stay, you know, grounded in reality.
Sounds good.
So let's really dig into this positivity thing. Why is it such a massive deal? It's not just like mathematically inconvenient if it goes wrong.
Oh, definitely not. It's a hard constraint from the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. If you're simulating, say, particle counts, maybe in a nuclear reaction, or the concentration of some pollutant in water.
Or just temperature in a piece of metal.
Right. Those values must be zero or positive, always. A model spitting out a negative temperature or negative particles isn't just slightly inaccurate. It's describing something physically impossible.
It means the simulation has gone completely off the rails.
Exactly. It's lost touch with reality. So the type of equation we're focusing on here is the semilinear stochastic heat equation, the SHE.
Okay.
It models systems where some quantity, let's call it U, changes over time and space.
Yeah.
And it's influenced by two main things. One is a standard diffusion process, like heat spreading out.
The heat equation part?
Precisely. And the other is that random noisy component.
Yeah.
And crucially, it's that multiplicative space-time white noise we mentioned.
I mean, the noise itself depends on the quantity U.
Exactly. The randomness isn't just some external background hiss. It scales with and actively influences the quantity itself. This makes the system super dynamic, really unpredictable.
Which I guess makes SHEs useful for a lot of different things.
Hugely versatile. They pop up everywhere. Modeling particle branching. There's a famous case called the parabolic Anderson model, where the noise term is literally just U times the noise.
So it scales directly.
Mm-hmm. But also for understanding fluid dynamics with random forces or simulating how things mix in turbulent flows. Lots of applications.
Okay, so we have these powerful but tricky equations. And you mentioned standard numerical methods struggle with them. What are those methods and what's the specific problem?
Well, there are several established ways people try to solve these stochastic partial differential equations, or SPDEs. Popular one you might hear about are the Euler-Maruyama scheme, maybe the semi-implicit version of that, or the stochastic exponential Euler integrator.
Okay.
And what's really fascinating, or maybe frustrating, is that these methods do converge. Theoretically, if you make your simulation steps smaller and smaller, they get closer to the true answer. That's the good part.
Right.
But they do not preserve positivity for these SATs. That's the killer flaw. Even if a method works perfectly fine for a deterministic heat equation, adding that interactive multiplicative noise just messes things up.
So it breaks the physics.
It breaks the physics. It leads directly to those impossible negative values we talked about.
Wow. So was this like a known issue? People knew these methods were failing this way?
Oh, yes. It was definitely a known limitation.
Hmm.
And a really tough one to get around. The numerical analysis community understood these schemes converged okay, but they also knew that this fundamental non-negativity of physical quantities could just vanish when you had strong multiplicative noise.
So it was a known trade-off, almost. You get convergence, but you might get nonsense values.
Kind of, yeah. And it really highlighted a big gap in our toolkit for accurately modeling these important phenomena. A very frustrating gap.
Okay, so faced with this, you know, fundamental flaw methods spitting out impossible numbers, how did Breyheyer, Cohen, and Ulander approach this? What was their strategy?
Their answer is based on a really elegant idea, a splitting scheme.
Splitting, like dividing the problem.
Exactly. Think of it like tackling a really complex task. Maybe you can't do it all in one go, but if you break it down into two simpler steps and you can do each of those steps perfectly or very accurately,
then you can maybe solve the whole thing by doing the steps one after the other.
Precisely. That's the core idea. Their Lie-Trotter scheme decomposes the original complex SHE into two subsystems handled sequentially within each small time step.
Okay, how does that work in practice then? What are the two steps?
So first, they handle the noise step. This part integrates just the random component, that GW term, the part with the noise. And they managed to do this almost exactly.
Almost exactly, how?
Well, they essentially treat the other parts, like diffusion, as constant for that tiny moment in time. For specific cases, like that parabolic Anderson model where GG, this step actually becomes something well understood called a geometric Brownian motion.
Okay, I've heard of that, like in finance models.
Similar idea, yeah.
Yeah.
For more general functions, G, they use a clever trick where they sort of freeze a factor involving at its value from the previous time point. It makes the calculation manageable while still capturing the noise dynamics really well.
Right, so step one, handle the noise accurately.
Yep.
What's step two?
Step two is the diffusion step. After dealing with the noise, they immediately solve the linear diffusion part, the AU term. This is basically the standards deterministic heat equation part.
The predictable part.
Exactly. And the brilliant thing here is this part they can solve completely exactly using standard techniques for the heat equation. No approximation needed for this step.
Wow. Okay, so an almost exact noise step, then a completely exact diffusion step.
And here's where it gets really interesting, the magic of combining them. By doing these two steps, sequentially noise, then diffusion within each tiny time interval, the scheme is constructed in such a way that it inherently guarantees positivity.
Oh.
It's the structure. Both the geometric Brownian motion part, or its approximation, and the exact solution of the heat equation are known to preserve positivity on their own. By carefully combining them in this specific order, the overall scheme inherits that property. If you start with positive values, you always end up with positive values after each time step.
So it's explicitly designed, baked into the structure, to be positivity preserving.
Exactly. That's the genius of their specific Lie-Trotter splitting approach. It tackles the two challenges separately, but in a way that preserves that crucial physical property.
That is clever. But you mentioned earlier this led to something even bigger, a theoretical breakthrough.
Yes, and this is truly groundbreaking. If we connect this back to the bigger picture, their work didn't just result in a numerical method that works better. It actually allowed them to prove something fundamental about the equation itself.
About the SHE.
About the exact solution to the semilinear stochastic heat equation.
Mm.
They proved, under their assumptions, and importantly, on a bounded spatial domain, like a finite interval, not the whole real line.
Okay.
That the true, exact solution is inherently non-negative. It cannot go below zero.
Wait, wasn't that already known? It seems intuitive if it models physical stuff.
Surprisingly, no. It was known for equations on the entire real line, based on earlier work.
Yeah.
But proving it for bounded domains, which are often more relevant for practical simulations, was an open problem. It wasn't obvious how boundary conditions might interfere.
So they proved a fundamental property of the exact solution itself.
Yes. A significant contribution to the pure mathematical theory of SBDEs. And what's amazing is that this deep theoretical insight came directly from analyzing their numerical scheme.
Wow, so the practical need for a better simulation tool actually led to new fundamental math.
It's a fantastic example of that interplay, numerical analysis informing pure theory. It doesn't always happen that way.
That's incredible. Okay, so beyond the huge theoretical proof, what about the practical side? How well does the scheme actually work? Does it converge quickly?
It does. They also proved its mean square convergence rates. This basically tells you, on average, how close the numerical solution gets to the true solution as you refine your simulation grid.
And what are the rates?
They showed a convergence rate of 14 in time and 12 in space.
Okay, one quarter in time, one half in space. What does that mean practically?
It means if you, say, have your spatial step size, h, the error roughly halves. If you make your time step 4 times smaller, the error roughly halves. It quantifies the accuracy improvement.
Got it. But you said earlier these things often depend on stability conditions.
Absolutely crucial. These convergence rates and the very stability of the method depend on satisfying an appropriate CFL condition.
CFL? What's that stand for again?
Current Friedrich's Lewy. It's a fundamental concept in numerical methods for differential equations.
Yeah.
In simple terms, it's a stability requirement that links your time step size to your spatial mesh size, if H.
How so? Like one limits the other.
Exactly. Think about simulating a wave moving across a grid. Your time step can't be so big that the wave completely leaps over a grid point between steps. The simulation wouldn't even see it properly.
Ah, okay. So the information can't travel too far in one time step relative to the grid spacing.
That's the essence of it.
Yeah.
If you violate the CFL condition, if your time step is too large for your chosen spatial grid, your numerical method can just blow up, become unstable, give you wildly inaccurate oscillating garbage.
Even if the method is theoretically sound otherwise.
Even then. For this Lie-Trotter scheme, the paper shows specific CFL conditions are needed, like requiring the time step to be less than or equal to some constant times h squared, or sometimes just h, depending on the specifics. These are essential for the stability and the convergence rates they proved.
Right. Did they test this? Show it in action?
Oh, yeah. Their numerical experiments are very convincing. They tested their scheme on representative SGE problems, using different forms for that G noise function, like G equals 2.5V, or logarithmic one, GV equals 2.5L, and 1 plus V, and started with a typical initial condition, like a fine wave.
And compared it to the old methods.
Yes, and the results really highlighted the superiority, as they put it, of their Lie-Trotter scheme for positivity. For instance, in some tests they ran, the standard Euler-Maruyama scheme gave negative non-physical results in every single one of the 50 runs they did. Zero positive samples.
Wow, 0 out of 50.
Whereas their new scheme, it kept all the values positive in those same tests, perfectly preserving the physical constraint.
That's a pretty stark difference.
Absolutely. And the experiments also clearly confirm the necessity of that CFL condition. When they used step sizes that satisfied it, they observed convergence rates that matched their theoretical predictions, that 14 in time, 12 in space.
Yeah.
When they violated it, things went wrong.
Okay, so what's the bottom line here? For you, the listener, what does this breakthrough really mean?
It means we now have a much more reliable, robust tool for simulating a whole range of complex phenomena where randomness plays a key role. Where the old tools could give you physically absurd negative answers, this new scheme provides results you can actually trust.
So more confidence in the simulations.
Definitely. It's a significant leap forward in making sure our models accurately reflect physical reality, especially when dealing with that tricky multiplicative noise.
And does it stop there, or can this idea be pushed further?
Well, the paper does briefly mention that this positivity-preserving splitting approach can likely be generalized. They suggest it could work for systems of multiple semilinear SHEs, meaning you could potentially model situations with several interacting quantities that are all diffusing and influenced by noise. Think maybe multiple chemical species reacting and diffusing, or different types of interacting particles. So potentially much broader applications.
That sounds powerful. Are there limitations, though? Things it can't do yet?
Yes, the authors are clear about that. They note that extending these results to handle more general spatially colored noise.
Meaning different kinds of randomness patterns, not just white noise.
Exactly. Noise that might have correlations in space, for example. And also extending it to arbitrary dimensions, meaning problems in 2D or 3D space, not just the 1D line they focused on for the main proofs.
That would require new ideas.
They state it would require new techniques, and they leave it for future work, which naturally raises an important question, doesn't it?
Which is?
Well, what other fundamental properties of these complex systems, properties we might currently just assume or not even know about, could be uncovered like this, proven rigorously through the careful design of new numerical methods.
That's a really interesting thought, like using the quest for better simulations to discover fundamental truths.
Precisely. And think about the impact. How might guaranteeing these basic physical properties like positivity transform our ability to really trust and apply these models, especially in critical areas?
Like what?
Well, climate prediction, for instance. Tiny inaccuracies in modeling fluid dynamics or heat transport, if they violate physical constraints, could lead to huge errors down the line. Or think about modeling drug delivery within the body. Getting the diffusion of molecules right is absolutely crucial. Ensuring positivity there could be vital. The implications are pretty profound.
Okay, so let's recap. We started with this really tough problem, modeling random diffusion, like in SHEs, but hitting a wall because standard methods produced impossible negative values.
Violating basic physical reality.
Right. But then we saw how this clever Lie-Trotter splitting scheme developed by Brahier, Cohen, and Ulander not only solves that practical numerical challenge keeping everything positive,
but it also, remarkably, led to a completely new theoretical proof, proving that the exact solution itself has to be non-negative, at least on bounded domains.
Which is just a fantastic illustration of how numerical analysis, the practical side, can actually drive fundamental mathematical discovery. It's not just about approximating things.
It's a real two-way street sometimes.
So for you listening, the key takeaway is understanding just how crucial ensuring positivity is in these stochastic models. You've seen how a smart splitting scheme can achieve it and why stability conditions like CFL are non-negotiable. This isn't just abstract math. It directly impacts how accurately we can model real-world things, from tiny particles to large-scale turbulent flows.
Absolutely. It provides a much-needed reliable tool.
Which leaves us with that final thought. What other fundamental properties are hiding in these complex systems? Properties we might only uncover by demanding our numerical methods respect basic physical laws. And how could guaranteeing those properties fundamentally change our confidence in using these models for really critical predictions?
Something to definitely chew on. How much more reliable could our models become if we build in these fundamental constraints from the start?
Exactly. A lot to think about for your next deep dive.